This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. This is our second lesson as far as the fiqh of intimacy is concerned. In our previous sitting, we did an introduction to the subject matter and we said that Islam is a complete way of life. It covers every sphere of our life, not just ibadah, not just salah, not just zakah, not just hajj, but rather it extends to all other affairs of our life, whether it's social issues, whether it's politics, and for that matter, even the matters of bedroom, the Islamic guidelines are found. So Islam provides a complete, comprehensive sharia for its followers. There's no gray area in the deen. Everything is clear cut, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidelines through His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second thing that we made mention of is that we looked at the concept of modesty, and we made mention that indeed modesty is extremely important in our sharia and in our deen. However, at the same time, we made mention that modesty should not become a deterrent for you to learn your deen. So if you are unsure or if you are not certain in a certain mas'ala, query the mas'ala, find out, even if it is something that's involving an intimate nature. Then too, you must find out what is the proper ruling and the correct understanding of the matter. And I gave you the example of the women of Ansar. They would come to the Nabi of Allah and they would ask intimate questions like, O Nabi of Allah, how is a lady to complete her ghusl after her haid or after a certain condition? And the Nabi of Allah would explain, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would comment, and she would commend the ladies of Ansar saying, how wonderful are the ladies of Ansar. Modesty does not stop them from learning about the deen. The third thing that we made mention in our previous sitting was that there's a genuine need for Islamic guidance as far as intimacy is concerned. And that is, we know that we live in a highly sexualized world and people are getting their knowledge and information through the net, through the web, through YouTube and other platforms. And at times they might be getting the wrong end of the stick. They might be getting the wrong version of the deen and also in terms of intimacy. Therefore, we made mention that it's important to understand this portion of your deen through authentic sources. We also made mention that people often abstain from certain practices in their bedroom, thinking that it is haram, whereas it's actually halal, 100%. And likewise, many people indulge in many acts, thinking that they are halal, whereas in reality, it is haram. Therefore, education is key. And one other point that we made mention is that talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, that to seek knowledge is compulsory. And I made mention, if at this moment you got extra cash and it is more than your need and it is more than 1 year in your possession, for you to learn the masail of zakah is fard, no longer sunnah, because it's incumbent for you at this particular stage in your life. Likewise, other aspects of deen. Today we move on to another chapter and another discussion altogether, and that is intimacy, a right of both partners. Intimacy, a right of both partners. That is the topic we're going to discuss today. And as an introduction, we must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the avenue of nikah for both parties to fulfill their needs. It is the only legitimate, halal, permissible avenue for husband and wife to fulfill their needs. It's one of the objectives of nikah. In certain cases, nikah becomes fard. In certain cases, nikah is wajib. In certain cases, nikah is sunnah. In certain cases, nikah is makruh. In certain cases, nikah is makruh et tahrimi. I'm not going to go into all of them, but it's fard when you have the ability to get married and your desires are so strong and you know you are going to commit adultery. At that moment, to make nikah is fard for you. Why? Because Islam did not say shy away from your needs. Islam said, yes, there's an avenue for it, and the avenue to fulfill your needs is nikah. If we understand the urge is there in you, we don't suppress your urge. What Islam encourages is do it in the right way, and the right way is nikah. So a husband must understand that the only legitimate halal avenue for him to fulfill his needs is through the avenue of nikah. And the wife needs to understand that the only halal permissible avenue to fulfill her needs and get sexual gratification is through the avenue of nikah. Now if the husband and the wife are not understanding this responsibility and this important function of marriage, then the relationship suffers. The relationship suffers. We'll get into more details a little later on, but as an introduction, we must understand, number one, that it is the platform through which a person is ought to fulfill his needs. Now, coming to the aspect of intimacy being a right for both the husband and the wife. The famous scholar Imam Alauddin Al-Kasani used to say that both spouses share the ruling of deriving sexual pleasure, for just as the wife is lawful for the husband, her husband is lawful for her. Meaning, it's a mutual relationship. It's a misconception to think that the man only has the right in the relationship for sexual gratification. So when he's in the mood, the wife must make herself available. And when he's not in the mood, nothing's going to happen. It doesn't work according to his moods. It's a mutual relationship where both parties need to understand the sentiments of each other and they must cater for each other's needs. There are narrations that categorically speak about the rights of ladies. And I'll give you the example. The incident is of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, أَنْكَحَنِي أَبِي إِمْرَأَةً ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ. My father got me married to a beautiful, wonderful lady who comes from a very noble background. فَكَانَ يَتَعَاهَدُ كَنَتَهُ فَيَسْأَلُهَا عَنْ بَعْلِهَا. But every now and then he was checking on us. And he would ask my wife, his daughter-in-law, how's your husband treating you? How's things in the house? Is everything all right? And this is an important lesson for us, that ask your daughter-in-law how's the son treating her. Not the other way around. You say, hey, how are you treating my son now? Tell me. Here the Sahabi is asking the daughter-in-law, how is my son treating you? And look in the reply this lady gave. She said, Ni'am al-rajul min rajul. Wonderful man, fantastic man, you can't complain. لَمْ يَطَعْ لَنَا فِرَاشًا وَلَمْ يُفَتِّشْ لَنَا كَنَفًا مُنْذُ أَتَيْنَاهُ. I can't complain about him. There's no defect in terms of his character or anything. But we haven't shared the bed. We haven't shared the bed since we are married. He's busy on the musalla every night. Whole night he makes salah. And during the day he fasts. He's got no interest in me. He's got no interest in me. So the father was not happy about this. He let it go for some time. After that, he followed up again. He said, maybe he thought newly married, maybe they're still getting used to each other. After some time, he comes again and he asks, how is my son treating you? And she says the same thing. So he goes to the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah. This is wisdom. He did not approach his son directly. So if your son is having issues with your daughter-in-law, you don't approach him. Approach a man whom he listens to. It doesn't have to be a scholar. It can be anyone that your son looks up to and who he will listen to. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summons him and calls him in his gathering and he asks, what is the story? Anyways, cutting the long story short, he tells him, فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. O Abdullah, give everyone their due right. Your wife also has a right over you. Subhanallah. Your wife also has a right over you. And what we need to understand is women are very modest. They are implicit. They're not explicit when they want their needs to be met. So they won't say, hey, today I'm in the mood, can we? She won't say that to you. But she'll be implicit. She'll perhaps adorn herself, or maybe want to affectionate touches, or want to implicit remarks. Now, You must be clever enough or astute enough to pick up the signals that she's trying to tell you indirectly, I want my needs also to be met. I want my needs to be met. A husband needs to respect it and understand it. And we know when the lady completes her menstrual cycle, immediately after that, the need is very strong. So, a lady is modest in her approach. The point I'm making is that a lady also has a right to intimacy in the relationship. It's not only limited to the men. And respect each other's needs. When you respect each other's needs, you find that there's a healthy relationship brooming and blossoming in the house, mashallah. Now let's speak about other aspects in this regard. What we must understand is that a healthy sexual relationship is extremely vital for a strong marriage. And one of the reasons, I'm not saying the only reasons, I'm saying one of the reasons for failed marriages is because of this department suffering in the marriage. The one couple I was dealing with, for over a year, they did not have intimate relations. For over a year, and I couldn't believe it. That's called sexual punishment. We'll smile, we'll put up selfies, we'll do everything. Our families will think everything is nice and rosy. But only we know the real relationship that we are going through with. Over a year. Another couple I dealt with, over 6 months. But now I'm no longer surprised with this because it's a regular occurrence. Maybe not 6 months, maybe not 1 year, but a month or 2 months is a very common occurrence in many people's home. And what we need to understand that when the needs are not met, then people tend to look outside. It's not to say it's justified. Remember, it's not to say that it's justified. But generally, when the needs are not met, people are looking outside. Outside in one of the following ways. He will maybe fantasize. So if he's got a shop, he'll be undressing ladies through his eyes and fantasizing how he can fulfill his needs with her. Maybe he'll go to that extent. The wife will know nothing. Or the other way around. The other level is pornography. The third level from pornography, you progress to masturbation, self-pleasure. And the level after that is marital affairs. But if you look at the history of the relationship, you will realize that this department was suffering. And because this department was suffering, it had a direct impact on the person's relationship, and therefore he was looking for outside attention. And therefore it's very important for us to understand where this fits in our relationship. It leads to unhappiness, frustration, and at times even a divorce. Then you see many of them, they're just sticking it out because there's children involved. Now, Malana, we've got 3 children now, 4 children. We can't call it quits. We just carry on the side. So we must understand that it is extremely vital for us to fulfill the needs of each other in a relationship. The next aspect that we need to understand is that how the relationship deteriorates. When husband and wife are newly married, intimacy comes naturally. You don't have to make an effort also. In fact, every opportunity you get, you become intimate with your partner. But things start to change the minute the firstborn or the first child comes into the relationship. And then, in many homes, the relationship then suffers. You find that the man is saying, Mawlana, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a bundle of joy, but now I'm like the second child in the house. You know, I feature like there at the bottom. And Alhamdulillah, I can't complain, I can't nitpick. My wife is excellent. Everything she sees to in the house and everything, Alhamdulillah, as far as a mother also, as far as a wife, I can't complain. But now tell me, is it wrong if my needs are not met? I ask her. So it's when the first child comes, you find that the relationship starts to deteriorate. What women need to understand, that the needs of a man doesn't change after the child is born. His needs are still there. And what a lady needs to understand, that we're living in a highly sexualized world where you are exposed to the opposite gender and vice versa. When you work in the corporate world, from the time you leave your home till the time you get home, you are bombarded with advertisements. You get to see these kind of things on the net, And then you also see your co-workers, right or wrong, but that's the world we are living in. So when a person comes home, he's charged up. But when he comes, she say, what? Can't you say I'm busy with the baby? I haven't had the time to even comb my hair. You want to get intimate here? No. So what a lady needs to understand, that yes, Allah has blessed you with a bundle of joy, and yes, it is overwhelming. But you got to make time for your husband also, even after you become a mother. It's very important. Yes, the husband needs to be more supportive. He needs to understand that it's no longer him only in the relationship. There's a small girl or small boy, and that means your routine is out of the window. You no longer sleep 8 hours. 8 hours what? That's a dream. Not just your sleeping pattern, but your schedule also changes. You can no longer do the things that you were doing prior to having a child. So you have to be understanding on both sides. But at the same time, you must understand that the need has to be fulfilled. And it can't become a chore or a responsibility. What used to come naturally now is a rare occasion. And that's when the relationship suffers. A lady must make time for the husband and for the relationship. So yes, maybe one day in the week you block out, you ask mommy and daddy, keep the children. You must make time. What I'm saying is that sometimes you're so clingy onto your child that you forget your husband. And his needs are not met. What happens? Communication breaks down. The husband no longer is close to his wife. For a husband, a natural de-stressor is to have relations with his wife. She doesn't de-stress that way. She de-stresses in a different way. So they go to the point, he must be happy, Molana. He must make sabr. He must make shukr. And I'm looking after his child. Where will he find a wife like me? Undoubtedly, he won't find a wife like you. So she must understand his needs, and he must understand the dynamics of the relationship. But they must make time for one another. That's what I'm emphasizing. They must make time for each other to fulfill their needs. Don't do it as a responsibility. Oh, it's Thursday night again, you know. When you do it as a responsibility or as a chore, the relationship is still deteriorating. It still suffers. So you can't work with moods. I'm not in a mood, Murana. Yeah, you're not in a mood, but you still have to do things in life. You can't stop living, can you? Because I'm not in a mood, I'm not going to eat. Because I'm not in a mood, I'm not going to go to the bathroom. Because I'm not in a mood, I'm not going to go out to work. You can feel whatever you want, but Monday morning you've got to go to work, isn't it? So we can't live by moods. I don't feel like. I'm not in a mood. When the moods get in the way, remember the relationship suffers. And the next point is that don't wait for the perfect moment. You know, we often try that, no, kids must be away. There must be no distractions. Absolutely fine, the serene moment. Those moments don't happen. Because even if the kids are away, somebody's phoning. Or some family members of yours who never ever visits you, but that day when you were with your wife, knock, knock. Now, you can't keep on pushing away in terms of saying, no, it's not the right moment. You'll never get the right moment. You have to create opportunities to be intimate with one another. You have to foster the love between the two of you. It doesn't happen. It's like a man who's standing at the ocean. You know, Malana, when all the waves subside, when the waves are totally, I'm going to jump in. It doesn't happen like that, my brother. The waves will continue, but you need to jump in whilst the waves are there. So you've got to make time for one another despite the challenges and the responsibilities of life. Yes, we all love hectic lives. But if we don't make time for one another, the relationship will suffer. Okay, there's two other things, but let's quickly discuss it. Sometimes people are not sexually active because of medical reasons. And if it is medical attention that you require, then you must go out for medical attention. Sometimes the testosterone levels in a man is very low, so therefore he's not so active. Where the wife is saying, Molana, I'm active and this man is, it's like a cold turkey. What do I do? So if it's a medical condition, you are also required to go and check yourself up. If the levels need to be boosted, then you need to do so. And likewise, even lady also, they have medication. If the levels are low, there is a treatment which they undergo. The last thing I want to mention here is before we close off is that when the needs are met of each other in the marriage, the other aspects of marriage also start to improve. You know, you're always nagging your husband, please do the laundry, fold and fold. He won't do it. He's lazy. But after getting intimate, he'll fold the whole basket. He'll fold the whole basket. Can you see? So you have to be a bit patient with one another. So when you are meeting each other's needs, automatically the other departments of your marriage also start improving, mashallah. And when this department is not working and it's suffering, it has a ripple effect on every other aspect of your life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all happy and smiling. Jazakallah khairan.